Welcome to That Creator Life, a show where we discuss the process, the struggles, and the wins of content creation. My name is Zach. I'm a YouTuber and content strategist helping you start your journey. Tony, welcome to the show. It's really a pleasure to have you here. Before we start, can you tell us a bit about yourself and what's your journey here in Vietnam?
Yes, thank you. Thank you for the invite. Yes, I'm Tony. I'm from South Africa. I've been in Vietnam for about 3 years now. I'm an actor by trade. And obviously now I'm like everybody else, or most people, I'm a teacher, which is fun, which is super fun. I didn't know how much fun it's going to be. And I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm just doing, I started into the content the last few months during lockdown. And it's going well.
It's mostly on TikTok, if I'm correct, right?
That is correct. Mostly on TikTok. And then basically what I do is, obviously, as you know, you are limited. Like on TikTok, you got to have like 8 to 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can make it longer, but then nobody watches it, you know?
So it's like the longer short content, format,
Exactly. So for the longer stuff, like a minute or 2 minutes, I would do that on Facebook, YouTube, those things.
Awesome. In terms of TikTok, can you tell us, like, why did you choose that platform first? Or, like, do you have any story with that platform?
Yeah, well, basically, during lockdown, I've never installed TikTok in my life until about 2 months into the lockdown. I was so bored. I had nothing else to do. Mm-hmm. And eventually I made the plunge just to actually download it, looked at the videos, didn't know what's going on, saw the most random stuff that I could think of. And I thought, well, surely if a guy that's singing, singing karaoke in a tree, if he can get 1 million views, surely I can get something. So, I chose TikTok because I feel that Instagram isn't really as well supported here. Mm-hmm. So it just made more sense. And also, like, what I've discovered, if you, unless you have a VPN, your content will only be shown in your sort of local area. So there's no point in me doing Western stuff. It's not going to go to the US or South Africa. So I had to try to do local stuff. So chose TikTok.
Yeah. And speaking about Instagram, they're actually trying to catch up to TikTok now with their reels.
You're right.
So everybody's trying to get a piece of the pie, the short format pie.
Exactly.
So, Tony, can you tell us about the content you create? What kind of content and what kind of topics you discuss, and how's the format?
Yeah. So basically, obviously, my aim is just to make funny content. I'm not here to make a political statement or anything. I think there's more than enough about that going around. So, yeah, I'm just trying to make people laugh, you know. What I've noticed is most of my following on TikTok is basically school kids, so I try to do like 70% of my content is about, you know, school related comedy. Mm-hmm. The kids having one over on the teacher, you know, they like that. They like to see the teacher getting.
Yeah, as a fan, I like some of your videos. They're really funny because I've been teaching like for a while, and I kind of relate to most of it. It's so funny.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And it's I have tried, like, initially when I began in lockdown, I wasn't sure what I was doing. So I was just trying some random stuff. I was like, one of the first videos that really did well was me trying to do the sort of Asian squat. which is something I can't do, you know. So I was thinking maybe going that route. But the thing is, there are already quite a few foreign content, you know, content creators in Vietnam doing similar type of stuff, you know, the whole foreigner in Vietnam. So I didn't want to go that route. And once I got back into school, when it was like November, December, and then I thought, well, heck, I can might as well do some videos here. And I think that worked well.
Awesome. And which brings us actually to the juicy part, which is, how do you actually make those videos? Can you tell us a bit about your content creation day and what it's look like?
Yeah, so sometimes it's very sort of on the spot. I would see something in class that I find funny, and then I would shoot that the next day or the next week. I would do like a remake of it. Most of it is like that. Then the stuff that's a bit longer, I would obviously write it. I would write the shot list, keeping in mind when I shoot at school, I need to get the help in of the grade nines, which is always a bit risky. So you got to keep it basic. They all want to be in the video and they all want to do their own thing. So you got to keep it very basic. This is not like a full on Hollywood set. So I would just write a basic shot list. I would then, for the longer stuff, like the one where I did the whole video about being a what you call it, bapsao seller, that one took a bit longer. That one took about a day to write the whole scene, find a film crew, and so that takes a bit longer. But yeah, back to school. It's just basically identifying some of the stuff that happens on a daily basis and trying to write that down into a short and concise, funny way. And then obviously having to pay the secondary school kids to help me with the filming.
You talk about having a background in acting, right? How did that help you with the process?
Yeah, well, that is a good question. I think the thing that helps me is the fact that I know how to not sort of act totally sort of over the top. I know how to write as well, and I know how to write without offending anybody else. I'm not gonna sort of come here to this country and make fun of this country. So all of my content is focused on making fun of myself and making fun of me as a teacher, you know? So I think my sort of acting background and having made some of the mistakes when I was younger doing plays, I started to realize what works and what doesn't. And still I haven't made it yet. I haven't arrived yet, but I think my acting background helps to, number one, from a writing perspective, how to write the scene well so that nobody gets offended. And secondly, from an acting perspective, how to get the most out of the scene, without acting too sort of over the top. Because some of my content, especially with the school related stuff, there you got to be a bit sort of, I wouldn't want to call it slapstick, but you got to be a bit over the top. But when it comes to like the longer content, it requires a different style of acting. So I think versatility is the key there.
And I believe also the thing that really makes it special is the humility part, right? Like the ability to make fun of yourself, which is a quality that a lot of comics have, like the best comics in the world. They have this quality of like making fun of themselves first. So that's awesome.
Definitely. I think about 7 years of marriage forces you to make fun of yourself.
Oh, yeah.
you know, when you have a South African wife, you know, man, it's easier to make fun of yourself. Otherwise, she'll do it for you.
That helps, right?
It helps.
Awesome. We want to move on talking about the what kind of like devices and tools you use to record and shoot your day. And I believe from the setup, it's like a basic one, right? Like just your phone.
Very basic.
Okay. Can you walk us through?
Yeah. So basically, just use a phone. I bought a microphone from a local shop here that plugs into your phone. So because I mean, nothing makes a video look low budget, such as low sound, you know, or poor sound quality. So I've got that. And then I've got phones. Sometimes when I use the UniKids to help me shoot, then I would use their iPhone Pro Max, all of those rich kids. I don't have that kind of money. You know, so that helps. So yeah, that's essentially that. And then I'm not much of a I'm not totally competent when it comes to my editing, but you know, I just keep it basic. So I use Video. I don't think it's the best program out there, but it's the first one I could find, and I was for. I just wanted something easy. I didn't want anything complex, so it's Video. That's essentially that. You know, I don't want to spend like hours and hours of you know, and
editing.
That's why exactly. That's why it helps to plan the mm-hmm. shots, plan everything exactly, and shoot it in order, because then it saves you so much time later on.
Tell me about it, especially with my YouTube journey. Like I spent some days editing, not only hours. It's really one of those things that you want to have like an efficient process.
And the thing is, I would like to at one point I would like to get to a stage where I can actually outsource this, mm-hmm. but at this stage, the content doesn't need that yet. You know, I don't know, but I am trying to work towards getting, you know, like just because the thing is, again, this is not my main skill. So it takes, I'm sure somebody else will be able to do it 5 times faster than me. So it takes me a lot of time. It's still fun, but it takes me a lot of time to edit and stuff. And it's very frustrating, as you know. So I would like to one day get to a point where I can just focus on the writing and the acting and the filming and then just shoot it. I think that would save me a lot of time.
That's actually the most common advice I get on this show from, let's say, established YouTubers with like million subscribers and stuff like that. They say that the moment they start to outsource the editing or the part that's really difficult for them to do, that's where it really kickstarts.
Right, exactly, man. I mean, you have to focus on what you can do well, you know. What I've noticed, and I'm sure those guys also mentioned that, it sometimes becomes like it's obstacle for me, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like don't think I'm going to do the video because I wouldn't be able to edit it that and that way. Whereas if I could just actually outsource it, then let's
focus
do it.
Focus on the juicy part, right? What's really
Exactly.
Oh, great. So then our next question would be about the technical part of creating those videos. So like you said, you're mostly editing them on your phone, right? So you're not using a laptop, you're not using any desktop.
I do use the laptop to what's called edit. The program is called Video, but
said Video, I thought it was an app on the phone.
Sorry, okay. That's it's like VWD.io is the.
Oh, okay. It's online platform. Okay.
Yeah, man, I'm 36. My skills on the phone is not nearly. I'm not as good as these young buffs. I can hardly send a WhatsApp or a Zalo. So,
Have you tried Have you tried editing on the TikTok app itself, or was that?
I have, but it's very to me. It's like time consuming, and maybe you make one mistake, or you want.
I couldn't get it to this day. Like exactly. I tried, I couldn't get it.
Yeah, no, it's tough, man. Like if you do just like one one shot things, you know, like then cool, no problem. You know, you add the filter, it's fine. But once I tried a video that required a filter, one of those TikTok filters, so I needed to do it on TikTok, but it had various shots. And man, there's no way of saving it or importing the clips. So then I would inevitably make a mistake just towards the end. Then I have to do everything. I have to do everything all over again.
Yeah, I think this is a really important point, because like for the people listening or people who know your TikTok channel, they might see the videos, they might really engage with them and like them. And there's this first impression that you are making videos like left and right and just the first take. So do you want to clarify for them that it's not actually the first take? It takes sometimes a lot of takes and stuff like that. There's always this false impression, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. No, believe me, it takes it takes way more planning and takes like my very first video was just me singing a Vietnamese song, which is not now funny or whatever, but that one is an example. It took me like 4 hours of practicing that song. Wow. And and I sang in Vietnamese, and I'm sure I totally butchered it. I think, but still, it took a lot of time. There was another clip where I spoke. The clip was about me speaking to God, which again, that one needed the filter, and man, that one took. That was probably the whole day, but luckily that was during lockdown, so time was the only thing I had. So that was fine. But no, it is, as you said, it's definitely not one take wonders. I'm still learning and I still make mistakes. And even worse, every time I notice something, well, 10 things that I could have done better after I've already, sent the video, submitted. So I'm still trying to teach myself to just like do another sort of round of quality assurance, just try to make it perfect, because there's always something I miss. Mm-hmm. And sometimes what I've noticed is I'm in such a rush to, like, I have this idea, so I just want to send it out. I want to post it. So I just want to do one take. It's fine, you know? And then, usually I would realize, no, man, like if you just took a bit more time, you could have made it 10 times better.
Especially the planning part, right?
Exactly.
Any struggles you faced before in terms of like losing, I'm talking about technical like troubles, like losing the content, losing the shots, maybe the app or the program crash on you. So I love to talk about these things, because I feel for most content creators, it's like it's part of their daily kind of struggle, but they don't usually talk about it. And I feel it's important to discuss, especially for people starting out, and, you know, give them a bit of like, oh, it's not only me, you know?
Yeah, totally. I think the first thing I can mention is I can't remember what was the initial editing program I used, but I know it was a free one. And that one, I cannot remember. Okay. But I know it was free, and it was so difficult, and I couldn't understand it, which is basically why I'm using that video now, because it's very basic. It's very simple. It's not the best out there, but it's very easy for a dumb guy like me to understand. So yes, I have lost not necessarily the content, but the hours of editing I would have lost, and it would sort of backdate to like a few. My whole laptop would actually crash, and then I would lose like the past 2 or 3 hours of work. So that has happened. Poor sound quality, which I did not, that was before I had the mic. I spent like a whole, 3 or 4 hours of doing this whole scene at it was on campus. And afterwards, when I got home, I realized I can't use any of it, you know, because the sound is just too bad. So that was a waste. And yeah, apart from that, once or twice it happened that, especially at school, I asked some great, I think it was a grade seven kid to film me doing something. It was something that I had to do right there and then. And I was like, okay, so just keep on filming, just keep it. And I did this whole funny scene. Mm-hmm. And at the end, when I took back my phone, I realized he pressed the record button again. I had the phone ready and prepped for him. Oh, so God. Nothing was filmed. I was like, you... and I couldn't be angry at the boy because I'm not, he's not my employee.
Yeah.
But I was like, ah, oh, you. So, yeah, pretty annoying.
Yeah, those things happen. And we just have to kind of move forward without, you know, letting all those troubles kind of stop us. Which brings us to the next question about the kind of the psychological part of creating content, or what kind of mindset did you build to be more consistent, have the motivation, and, you know, keep going?
Yeah, well, I have to say, I'll be a phony if I give any advice on this one, because it's still something that I battle with every day.
Every content creator, you know, no matter like what stage they're at, it's always a battle.
Exactly. And like initially, if I go back to like last year, like the fear of even installing, never mind making a video, just in downloading TikTok was already, and like I had this fear of this unknown, you know. And then when I had this idea to make my first video, I remember this, I had this crippling fear of failure, like it will bomb out, it will nobody will watch it, it's going to be lame. And I had to do research for like a few days to find out. And I remember this one girl, she had a vlog, or not a vlog, a blog about it, which addresses exactly that. She was also scared of doing her first video, scared of making, like having a video that's a flop. Long story short, I then discovered how the TikTok sort of algorithm works. Mm-hmm. And if it's a bad video, it's just gonna be sent to that 300 people and nobody else will see it, which made me a bit more sort of confident, mm-hmm. to say, well, let me just, you know, it's not like it's going to be shown out to the whole world and look how terrible this video is. So back to my main problem is always that fear of failure, fear of having a bad video. Especially now that there's a little bit more sort of expectation. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely a block for me. And then another psychological thing is trying to remind myself what type of content I'm doing. Like, for example, there's a couple of my videos that has been banned, not banned, but removed by TikTok because they felt it was, you know, harmful or whatever, which to me, I didn't see it. Some I could see, some I didn't. So that was a learning curve for me as well, like just to keep my mind focused on, keep it. And it was nothing like R18 or nothing. It was like example, the one video I said, I think it was something like, I'm getting old. So I took the iron and I, obviously it wasn't hot. It was, and it wasn't plugged in, and you could see it wasn't plugged in. And I tried to iron out the wrinkles from my face. You know, that was just back in lockdown and my first few videos. And then they removed it for saying, no, it's going to send the wrong message to kids. And that's what made me realize that, yeah, sure, I know it's obviously not good to do it, but, you know, some 9-year-old might not know that. So yeah, fear of failure, focusing on the right the right market, the right content, and what's called the dealing with negative comments.
That's a big one.
That is, I'm such a thin-skinned guy, man. I'm really trying, but it's a battle. Negative comments. Oh, luckily, on TikTok, most of the comments are like, I get a little bit of negative comments, but all of it is in Vietnamese. Mm. So that's a good way for me to make sure that I don't really, because I have to use Google Translate if I really want to see if it's a good comment or not. But on Facebook, on the other hand, I've had quite a few negative.
Is it because, like on Facebook, I believe they have auto translate, right?
Well, on Facebook, it's actually in English. So because I would post those videos on like expat groups or whatever.
Okay.
And 90% of the people love it. But you always get those 10% people, and obviously you're not gonna please everybody. I know it's not I know I'm not funny to everybody, and I don't want that. But then people go out of their way to say the meanest mm-hmm. things, and I had to the way that I decided to actually overcome that is by after I posted, and that's what I'm doing. Right now is after I post something on Facebook, I immediately turn off the what's called notifications
mm-hmm.
because I don't want to spend the whole day seeing more notifications and then having to read them, and then when I see one bad one, it really gets to me. So
I kind of relate with this, because like before I was also like, you know, getting maybe like 1%, even like, especially on YouTube, because I do like tech reviews for iPhone or like MacBooks and stuff like that. And as you know, like on YouTube, there is different levels of negativity and toxicity. But on the tech side, it's like on the most positive one. So, but still, even on the tech side, you still get some people who are maybe complaining about your advice, or they're calling you out as like somebody who is a fanboy or whatever. And what I learned, and even those, like I said, 1% or 5% of the comments, you still kind of, your mind just goes to those, right? You just ignore all the positive ones and your mind.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And what, it's weird. But like what I learned from my friend Mike, who's like a big YouTuber here, lives in Vietnam. And he said something interesting about those things. Like you just want to have a kind of like a tunnel vision where you leave away all kind of negative influence, whether it's from comments, from people around you, and you have to find your own way to do that. And what I found was like, go in and go out. So basically when I post a video or like a TikTok, I don't do TikTok, but I mean Instagram Reel, I just post, publish, and get out of the platform. Maybe at least for like 2 days or 5 days. This way you're like, you're away from that immediate like rush to find out what's gonna happen, a reaction, and it really works.
Totally, because the thing is, as you know, it can be such a rabbit hole if you post and look, and then you have to comment, and you see the comments, and like once you start replying to a negative, you know, my feeling is the best way to deal with a negative sort of comment, not even to, it's just not to say anything. That person must think that you don't even have the time to look at to have read the comment, you know?
Exactly.
Because
ignore it. You cannot just like please everybody.
Exactly. Because if you have to respond to everything, then before you know it, people are going to, but basically give you negative feedback just to get that buzz, you know, because that's almost the way that's sort of their sort of content, that's their level of, and I'm not saying level, but that's their content creation is,
yeah, exactly.
You know, trying to get, you know, negative comments and get that reaction, like, oh, I really gave that one. You know, so yeah, I just ignore it now. But yeah, some things you gotta delete, you know, especially on Facebook, because you know, I have many high school kids, not high school, many of my secondary school kids on my Facebook. So like, and I always make sure that my, you know, like I don't swear, I don't have any alcohol related content or any, you know, everything is, it might be a bit dark, but it's definitely on the clean side, you know. So, but sometimes people will not know that, and they would comment with something that's a bit R18. So some of those I gotta
deal with them.
Take off. Yeah.
Okay. So in terms of like your reach now and how many followers you have, like, did you have any expectation, like, since you started that you're gonna reach more than 60,000? Like followers on TikTok, and did that change your vision for what you want to reach in the future?
Totally. No, I did not. I did not expect this at all. I mean, and it's still obviously a fun hobby, and
it's like, also in a short time. Just to clear this up to our listeners, it's like in less than 4 months or 5 months, right?
Yeah. So yeah, I think my first video was in September. September, so it's about maybe 7-8 months, although there were like 2 months in the middle where I lost all momentum again, like December, November. So yeah, it's a pretty short time, and
congratulations, by the way.
Thank you thank you,
that's awesome.
It's fun and I don't know what to say, man. Like, I think how it did actually change my view now, because now again, as I said, there's a bit more sort of it's almost like it became from a fun thing, and it is still fun, but there is a bit more sort of expectation to post and to keep, and I'm not as I don't post as often as I think I should, you know. I'm trying to do at least once a week. How does it change? I think I realize now, but by just doing something so I don't really think much of it, and I got a pretty good return for it. So that makes me think that, you know, if I put a little bit more,
there's more potential effort, there, right?
There's more potential, and my main thing is I want to do longer stuff, you know. I know that this TikTok thing, like, my plan is not to make money out of it per se, but I think there is a way that I can use this. I'm not sure how yet, but I know it's going to come in handy.
One of the things that, you know, creates wealth or income when it comes to online platforms is the authority part. You can create your own kind of influence and authority, and from there you can find ways to monetize or whatever you want to do with it. So
exactly.
Go ahead.
No. I was just saying that you know, with about 70% of my fans or whatever being in, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 years old. The only way I can see for now that I can monetize is if I can maybe do a TikTok live, and I instruct the kids to go to their mom's wallet, find the cards, send me the details. Playing with that idea. It sounds illegal, but I'm going to, you know,
sounds
just going to do one, you know, just find a hacker, make the money and get out.
That's actually a good idea for a video, if it's within the boundaries of what's legal on TikTok. I don't know about
that. Exactly. Like, okay, Visa. Do you see the Visa block? Okay, now
let's go for it.
There's a number.
So Tony, I want to ask you about, like, not really ask you, but just like, I want your advice for anybody who want to start on TikTok today, but, you know, they still have this fear of like, what is going to happen? Maybe they're going to laugh me out of the platform.
Yeah.
They have this kind of insecurities that we all deal with. So what's your advice for them?
My advice would be download TikTok, spend a week of just watching, just watching content, and realize that there is no way that you'll be more embarrassing than anybody else out there. Mm-hmm. There's no way. There's some crazy stuff out there that will blow your mind in a, well, in a bad way. So that should give you enough confidence and courage to know that I know at least I won't be worse than than this video. Yeah. That's the one thing. And then number two is don't worry about any negative feedback, because again, with a TikTok algorithm, they'll send your video out to like 300 people. If it's a flop, then it's a flop. Then nobody else will see it. Nobody else will see it. And you can just move it to private, and then that's the end of that. You know, there's no harm done. If it's a good video, they will send it after that first round of 300 people, send it to another 1,000, and then it will go from there. So you've mm-hmm. got really nothing to lose. You've got nothing to lose. Don't make my mistake and think everybody from here to the USA will, like, nobody cares. I mean, and also the people have such short attention spans. Do you think they will ever remember your
nobody five knows you? That's what Mike told me, and I really like that comment. Exactly. Because like we think that the whole world is watching us, but nobody gives
exactly.
a damn.
Nobody gives a damn, man. Like, they can't even watch 6 seconds of a person that they actually like, you know. So don't worry.
And the funny thing is that by the time the whole world or people give a damn, you already, way ahead in the process, that, you know, that fear is not there anymore, like, of starting out. So it's like a
exactly.
paradox.
No, totally. And then one last thing is, just do things that you enjoy, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're not into sort of dances or sort of TikTok dances, but you know everybody else is doing that, just don't do it. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I even toyed with the idea in the first week when I installed TikTok. I was like, my God, am I gonna have to do this dance? And then I'm like, nah, come on.
There are
come
other
on,
ways.
You can do this. Yeah, so I would much rather, and I don't want to sound like I'm this on this high horse, but I would much rather have zero followers but content that I enjoy than having to mm-hmm. sort of sell out and do things that I absolutely hate, and it gets a bad yeah, like people yeah. will see through it, you know. So just absolutely. Do whatever you think is funny or you enjoy or whatever, and find your niche. That's find your niche. Don't do like 7 videos of different topics. Really
and go with it. Like, don't wait too long, right?
Exactly.
So,
just go for it.
Tony, thank you so much for being on the show. We're on a time limit here.
Thank you, man.
So, we really want to talk to you more, but I really hope we can do another session of this and see your updates.
Thank you
so much for being on the show. And we're going to leave all
you
your time, links in the show notes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye.